Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome. Amanda Grace here. We are live. Yes, sorry. We're running a little late. I'll tell you why in a minute. But welcome, welcome, welcome to everybody jumping on in the United States and around the world. It is June 20th today. Tomorrow is the longest day of the year. And then we start our gradual decline into fall. And boy, is it hot out here. Probably if I put an egg out on the driveway or something, I don't know, we might have sunny side up eggs, but it is hot in New York right now. Well, the animals have their fans on. We're keeping them very cool. We're being very mindful about that. We're making sure horses have shade, plenty of water, things of that nature. So hello to everybody jumping on. Let's see who is on. Oh, Canada. Hello to our friends in Saskatchewan, Canada, Alabama. Gus is from Alabama. Michigan. We were just there for Reawaken America. Ohio, Arizona, New Jersey. Hello to our neighbors in New Jersey. Can I tell you something? You think New York drivers are cray cray? I'm probably going to start an enormous debate in the chat. New Jersey drivers are a breed like I have never seen in my life. I think it's the Autobahn here in the United States of America. And if you go to Florida, you have New Jersey, New York, and Connecticut drivers all concentrated together. And it is more cray-cray than Daytona Speedway, seriously, because you have all the transplants going down there. Hello to those in Texas, Massachusetts, New York City, North Carolina. Welcome, welcome, Pennsylvania as well. Hello to our neighbors in Pennsylvania and everybody else. People are saying LA drivers. I won't dispute you on that. I'm sure they are a breed all their own as well. New Mexico. Hello to our friends in New Mexico. And we have more people from Canada jumping on. Neighbors in Connecticut. Hello, hello. Welcome to everybody coming on. Okay. So I'm going to open up in prayer. We have a few announcements. We got a lot to get into tonight. There is a lot going on. And we're just going to kind of like go through it piece by piece. We'll see how much we get through tonight. I'm going to see with our notes how many of the notes we do get through for tonight. But it is going to be interesting for sure. So if you could share this broadcast, that would be great. And subscribe, we'd very much appreciate it. So let's open up in prayer. And then we'll begin. Father God, in the precious name of your son, Jesus Christ, we come before you, Lord. We praise you, your almighty God. You are high and lifted up far above every power, principality, and might. Father, we just humble ourselves before you this day, Lord. Ask you to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Father, we humble ourselves before you this day. Father, knowing that we fall so short of your glory, that your mercies are new every single day, and we praise you for that. Father, we acknowledge you sent your son Jesus Christ to the earth in the form of a man. He came as the spotless lamb. He came to the earth to die because we were found guilty under your righteous laws. He took our place. He purchased us by the shedding of his own blood. He willingly died at Calvary. That blood dripped onto the mercy seat, purchased us, redeemed us, reconciled us back to you, Lord. He rose again in 3 days miraculously, and after appearing to many, ascended back into heaven, took his rightful victorious place at the right hand of the Father, where he rules and reigns forevermore. He is our advocate before your throne, and we honor that before you this day. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we welcome your presence, the presence of Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of the living God, and the presence of the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, to fill this place, Lord. Father, that the weight of your glory would fall, that the power of your presence would go forth and saturate the atmosphere, Father, that you would bring things, Lord, into order, go before us with your word. Father, lead and guide us in your wisdom, counsel, might, power, and the reverential fear of the Lord. Father, fill me, Lord, with your wisdom, counsel, might, power, and the reverential fear of the Lord. By the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, by the Spirit of the one true living God, may only the truth and power of Almighty God with authority now come forth, Lord, in Jesus' name. Father, every plot, scheme, contract, assignment, and harm, Father God, division, frustration, threats that the enemy, satanic agents, weak, willing vessels, and the like would attempt, Father God, against us, we rebuke it in the name of Jesus Christ. We take authority over it through Christ Jesus and command it dismantled, destroyed, disabled, thwarted, disrupted, blocked, nullified, voided, disarmed, bound up in the name of Jesus Christ and cast back to the dry places and pits from which it came from, to be bound there in the name of Jesus Christ and not return or have anything sent in its place. Lord, take all the glory for yourself. You are the potter. We are most certainly just the clay. You are the author and finisher of our faith, Lord. Father God, every breath we take is because of you, Lord. We are the dust of the earth without your breath of life in us, Father God. Lord, let your name be glorified above all in the name of your son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen and amen. Amen. It is so hot in New York. I think what I'm going to have to do, hold on. I'm going to take this off. And I'm going to leave it right here because this is cashmere and cashmere happens to be very hot. And so basically I'm going to cool down and then I will put it back on for sure. But I have my tallit on here and we're going to be off and running. So few announcements, guys. I need prayer with Chris because he thinks I'm Santa Claus and he keeps asking for more and more stuff, and it's kind of funny and it's kind of not. Ladies out there, you know what we're talking about. So basically that's why I was a little late, because he's got another idea for another project and he was trying to share it with me before he knew I had to go on. So basically that is what happened. And basically we're going to go on from here. So people are laughing. I know it is funny. I know it's funny. It is. He thinks I'm Santa Claus. Okay. So let us do animal picks first. Up there are the bunnies. You see their fan? All the animals have fans here at the Ark. So there are the bunnies today. There's Cyrus getting to know Noah. They're in the getting to know you phase of their relationship. And so basically they were outside together. There's Diesel, one of our newest. Diesel is such a sweet boy. He honestly has an amazing disposition. He is in the shade. We're making sure he gets out during the day and is able to get into some shade. There's Bixby. First of all, Bixby looks like someone cut half his bangs off, okay? And the cat's hair is just that way. But he's always hiding. He's always hiding. He comes downstairs. He's peeking around the corner at Cyrus, and that's just his cute little personality. Oh, there's Chester and Boots. Guys, please pray for Chester. He started drinking today. He still will not eat. So the doctor gave us medication for his nose, as well as some other things for him, and injectables instead of giving it to him by mouth right now while he's recovering. So please, we need a lot of prayer for Chester right now. God is able, and we are believing for a full recovery for Chester. There's Noah taking a bath. He's got a little tub in his pen inside, and he loves to go in his bath. Okay. This is the best stuff, by the way. I know you can see my lipstick mark on it, but I don't know if any of you have ever tried this, but this is Zevia Organic Lemon Tea, and it's sweetened with stevia, and it's absolutely delicious. So if you see me drinking, that's what I'm drinking. Okay. Now, we have a few other announcements here. So our night of prayer, here we go. July 7th, 2024, starting at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we are going to be joined by a group of amazing people to come together in prayer for the nation, as well as for the Trump family. Second Chronicles says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, and seek my face. Humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. So we're doing exactly what the Bible instructs us to do. We're looking forward to you joining us. We are going to be live on all platforms that night. So at the end, we'll go over how you can find us, but we're looking very forward to this. And we are very excited to come together with Eric and Lara Trump, Rudy Giuliani, Alina Haba, Clay Clark, Pastor Jackson Lawmeyer. We have Lance Wallnau, Donna Clement, Roger Stone, Robin Bullock, and a host of others. We are looking very, very forward to this night of prayer. It's an honor to be able to do this. I'm happy we're able to bring so many together in order to do this, and we're looking forward to seeing you. Now, George Magazine. This is George Magazine Live. I'm going to be speaking there August 10th and 11th, 2024. So you can go to georgemagazinelive.com to buy your tickets and use promo code GRACE for a 15% discount. And our prayer line. People are very excited about this. We have a prayer line now. So there are the two phone numbers. Yes, 845 is a New York area code. And so those are the two phone numbers you can call Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. for prayer. We have people waiting there live to be able to pray and agree with you. We are very excited. We were able to bring this about and do this for our viewers. We're getting a lot of amazing feedback about the night, about the prayer line. So we are just grateful that this has happened. Praise the Lord, and we're glad it's touching people. Okay, so now that we're done with announcements, I'm going to get up my notes here. Hold on, I closed out of them. There's this thing with Microsoft where you have to close out of your document to email it, and then you have to go back into it. I don't know if any of you know what I'm talking about. So every time I have to close out, we have to go back in. Okay. There's a couple of things we have to watch right now because there's a lot going on and there's some very strange things going on that we should have expected given what's happening right now in the nation. And we're going to talk about it. We're going to prophetically look at it and we are going to go over it. Now, if you all remember, I had warned to watch Spain. And Spain is now coming out. Now, the next two solar eclipses are over Spain, by the way, which is interesting. But I had warned about Spain, and we're going to show you the AP News article because Spain and Turkey call on the international community to act to stop the war in Gaza. So Spain has now moved into position with Turkey, and they're getting on board. So I would watch. This is a slippery slope for Spain, and I will tell you why. Because of the Spanish Inquisition, where the Jews were kicked out of Spain. And there's a spirit there with this, right? It's a spirit kind of like apartheid. It's a spirit that's in different territories. And we have that Spanish Inquisition in the past of Spain. And so we have to remember that. So the fact that Spain is moving into position now with Turkey is something to watch. Okay. Also, I want to read this. From actually, I'm going to wait on this one from September 30th, 2019, but I'm going to jump. Barbara told me about this, and I went and looked this up, and I could not believe what I was seeing in New York, but yes, I can believe it given the climate and temperature we are in. So let's put up the article. I don't know how many of you saw this. 270-foot replica of Vhagar the Dragon is currently sitting atop the Empire State Building, and they have a picture. A 270-foot replica of Vhagar the Dragon is currently sitting atop the Empire State Building, appeared first on Consequence to make the season two premiere of House of the Dragon. Max launched an ambitious marketing campaign that included a 270-foot installation of Vhagar the Dragon coiled around the top of the Empire State Building in New York City. And basically, this dragon has a lot of moving parts to it. And it said it is has more than 153 rigging points, and it will remain atop the skyscraper through June 18th. So basically, 2 days ago was the last day that this dragon was looking over the city. And we're going to get into why. We're going to get into why, because there is a why here and it's a biggie. Now, if you look at, hold on 1 second here. I want to make sure. Okay. 270 foot. 2 plus 7 is 9. 153 rigging points. 1 plus 5 plus 3 is 9. Okay. So this number 9 keeps showing up with this dragon. If you remember, Big Ben stopped at 9 a.m. on the first day of Passover, and it is the year of the dragon currently in China. And this dragon was placed atop a high place. Now, people, wake up here. The dragon was placed atop a high place, which is basically a ruler of the darkness trying to make its presence known that it is the one influencing the territory. Because back in biblical times, they would always build the altar to these false gods at a high place. And what higher place in New York City than the Empire State Building. Empire. The dragon is atop the empire. Just think about prophetically what this means. This is also happening during Pride Month. Okay, so in the middle of Pride Month, the dragon is put atop the Empire State Building. A dragon goes to a high place during Pride Month. I'm going to read to you from February 19th, 2024, what this says. And says the Spirit of the Lord this day, watch the Sea of Japan for contention to be stirred up as Japan will have to stand up to a fiery dragon thirsty for more resources and territories of an oceanic nature. The dragon thinks the world is hyper-focused on Israel and Russia and Ukraine, and it shall fly over to attempt in advance. However, that fire shall be squelched as the dragon sputters and gasps for air, for it will go too high too quick and will have to be brought low, says the Lord. Now, I find that interesting, that prophecy. The dragon will go too high too quick. Well, this was very sudden that this dragon was put atop the Empire State Building. Now, when you look at where we are and what's happening in the nation and the lawfare in New York and the golden Ishtar-looking statue atop the New York City Appellate Courthouse that eerily looks like Ishtar, and the fact that Hillary Clinton appeared out as a surprise at the Tony Awards, the two New York, okay? And now you have the dragon. Now, adding to all of this, you have this enormous dragon atop a high place in New York. We have to pay attention to this. This is serious. And this is something to be in prayer about and watch, because New York is precious territory to the enemy. In fact, most of the battles were waged out of New York for this area. So basically, you have prayer being taken out of schools, you have abortion, and you have what happened with C-19 in New York City. You see a lot of concentration. You had major battles of the Revolutionary War fought on New York soil. You had Washington made a covenant between God and the United States of America. From where? From New York City, Federal Hall. So you see all of these things have culminated in New York, and in an election year, during Pride Month, a dragon is put atop a high place. This is no mistake. Now, February, when this was given in February, this was right before Purim. So that's interesting too, just to note. This was right before Purim. Now, Romans 6:19. I'm going to read to you what Romans 6:19 says. I am speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. Resulting in further lawlessness. So you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness. Lawlessness births more lawlessness. It does not birth order. It does not birth morality. It does not birth reverence to God. Lawlessness will birth more lawlessness. And this is exactly what we're seeing. This spirit of lawlessness at work in this nation right now, because you see one thing after another happening, especially in New York, first of all, but as well in the nation. Lawlessness is at work. Do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. Do whatever you want, and that's the law. That's lawlessness. There is no order. There is no morality. There is no foundation in God or his word. Okay? That is what we are looking at, and that is what we are dealing with. Now, part of this mystery of lawlessness and what's happened has to do with the sword of Amalek. Now, I brought up Amalek before, but I'm going to tell you this. The sword of Amalek has mutated through the generations. And every generation must identify that ruthless ruler of the darkness, okay, and its weapon of choice, because its weapon of choice mutates and changes depending on the temperature of the generation it is targeting. So the sword of Amalek has mutated through the generations, and it has chosen different weapons depending on what kind of generation it's dealing with. You know why? Because it monitors, it observes, okay? And then it decides based on what it sees humanity doing, what kind of weapon it can utilize that'll be the most effective. Now, where we see this now and where we see a pattern of this is in the 1920s and 30s in Germany, the Weimar Republic occurs. And I'm calling this the Weimar window because this is what we're dealing with now. We're dealing with that altar of Weimar that has to break in this nation. Now, there is a parallel. There is a paradigm. There is a cross section that if you look at the Weimar Republic and you look at the United States today, we are dealing with the same issue, the same root, the same spirit. Now, this occurred before Hitler's rise to power in Germany. And this movement was a major key that unlocked a door within the Weimar Republic that spiritually weakened and subdued its prey for the taking. And it allowed the path to be cleared for Hitler and the enemy's solutions and his, quote, final solution, okay, to arise. So the Weimar Republic occurred as a result of World War I. And within the Weimar Republic, there was a blatant push for the LGBTQXYZ plus whatever you want to say agenda and transgenderism. So back then, there was a push for this within the Weimar Republic. And these agendas being pushed by the enemy's agents that appeared as light weakened the family unit, the country's morals, and opened the door spiritually for the entire nation to become full on oppressed. What's interesting, and what I read about this, is the police tolerated gay bars. Now, why am I telling you this? The police tolerated. What are the police doing today? What are the police being forced to do today in many ways? Tolerate. Tolerate drug dealers. Tolerate illegal immigrants. Tolerate gang members. Tolerate criminals. The police are being told to tolerate. And back then, the police tolerated gay bars. And because of that, Berlin became a global center for gay prostitution. That's what happened. It became a global center for this. And basically, the police were told to back off and tolerate, which sounds very familiar to what we see happening today. It was also home, Berlin, to this blooming gay civil rights movement led by a German Jewish physician and sexologist named Magnus Hirschfeld. Now, for tyranny to enter through the gate of a nation, it must first be morally obliterated and gravely spiritually compromised for tyranny to enter. Those two things have to happen first. It goes back to the Garden of Eden, where the serpent that was more cunning than any other said, did God really say? Did God really say you couldn't do that? Did God really say homosexuality is a sin? Did God really say? And this is what this goes back to. Now, German Jews as well, in the middle of the Weimar Republic, experienced a period of increased social and economic freedom. So freedom is liberty with responsibility, not to be treated like some reckless frat party. And this is exactly what happened. Culturally, the period produced important and lasting results. And there was a historian, and his name was Peter Gay, and he wrote, "The Republic created little, it liberated what was already there." So it brought out of the shadows of darkness what was waiting for a window to be unleashed. It liberated what was already there. And let's talk about the influence of Ishtar in the Weimar Republic, because that disgusting statue is atop the New York City Appellate Courthouse that looks eerily like Ishtar and Ashtoreth. okay, who was known as the goddess of love, sex, and war, false goddess, and divine law. They called her counterpart, right, or her husband, Dumuzi, also known as Tammuz, who was worshipped as the god of shepherds. In Ezekiel chapter 8, it talks about the women weeping for Tammuz and worshiping Tammuz and the detestable acts that were secretly occurring in areas of the temple where they thought no one saw. However, God saw. So you have this going on at the same time. Corresponding to Ishtar's own ability, okay, to transcend categories, this goddess, this false goddess of love, war, divine law, fertility, enabled her followers to defy or even redefine social boundaries, particularly those related to gender roles. Men who became priests of Ishtar, known as Gala. So the priests of Ishtar were called Gala, would sometimes assume non-binary gender roles, dress in women's clothing, and were allowed to engage in homosexuality. Priests of Ishtar were known as Gala. What is the Met event called that's so big in Hollywood? The Met Gala. What do some of the men do at the Met Gala? They dress up like women. This is why it's so important to see these patterns, because the Met Gala is one of the biggest peddlers of perversion and men showing up dressed like women, and the priests of Ishtar were called Gala, which is interesting. Now, the parallel to this and what happened in New York and the nation, this is going to start to become more clear because there's a lot of parallels that are running here. So during biblical times, one of the hubs of worship of Ishtar and where a main temple was present was in Nineveh. Nineveh, from the book of Jonah, that God had set for destruction if they did not repent of these detestable perversions, killing of innocent children, idolatry, and rebellion. So Ishtar's main hub was in Nineveh. There happened to be a full solar eclipse right before Jonah showed up in Nineveh and told them to repent. So it's something else to think about as well. Now, on top of this, the basis of German prosperity in the late 1920s was very problematic because it was largely dependent on foreign credits and foreign loans. Does this sound familiar? Because we're going through this now. When these dried up and the loans already made were called in, because the banks called in the loans amidst a slippery slope, financially speaking, because Germany was plunged into a slump more severe than experienced by any other country. Now, they had a decline in every sense of the word. They had a decline financially, with government, morally, and spiritually. The German government faced the classic dilemma to cut government spending in an attempt to balance the budget or increase it in an attempt to jumpstart the economy. Translation, just keep printing money without anything of substance backing it. That's the translation of that. Signs of this were already visible at the beginning of 1929. With the historic crash of the New York Stock Exchange that happened in October 1929 and the beginning of the Great Depression, German unemployment figures shot up. So unemployment was literally out of control. That year in 1929, October 14th was Yom Kippur, the holiest day on the Jewish calendar, the date they believe a verdict of a trial is reached, and it is a day of atonement and a day of reckoning. It was 10 days after Yom Kippur, the stock market officially crashed. The bull crashed. America's golden calf, Baal, crashed. The Great Depression came in the world like a plague, and when plagues occur, desperation sets in. The year 1929 also was a Shemitah year that year on the Jewish calendar, and we know that major world events are known to occur during Shemitah years. Actually, our current next Shemitah year would be 2028, our next election year. Isn't that interesting? Now, what happens in 1931 in July? So a severe financial crisis leads to the collapse of their national banks. One of Germany's largest financial institutions collapses. And in September, the unemployment figure reaches 4.3 million. So what's so interesting about this 4.3 million number, 43, is during the banking and financial world crisis of 2008, a serious recession occurred. This occurred during a Shemitah year. A candidate arose to be the 43rd president, 43, of the United States during this recession and world banking crisis named Barack Obama. So you have that number 43, recession, financial crisis, the cycle repeats. So there is a huge parallel between everything that went on in the Weimar Republic and what we see happening now and how we got to where we got. On top of this, in the 1930s, protests broke out across universities in Germany against Jews and Jewish students to drive them out. We just experienced that across college campuses in the United States, where protests broke out against Israel, the Jews, and wanted to drive Jewish students out. Same ancient spirit, same cycle, mutating sword of Amalek, Weimar Republic now. So these elements all coming together are what bulldozed and paved the way for Hitler to come to power in Germany. The rise of homosexuality and transgenderism severely weakened the family unit and morality in general. It opened a portal, and a very liberal portal. The dependency on foreign credit, the intense rise of the national debt, the Great Depression, and protests breaking out across universities against Jews. These factors all came together in a perfect storm and paved the way for a false visionary to arise, one that would peddle and prop up the enemy's vision and plan to attempt world domination ahead of schedule. One who would be an instrument from hell, with its motive being the destruction of God's people and the covenant the Lord has with them, which is an everlasting covenant according to his word. The Lord has a schedule. The enemy does not get to jump ahead and ultimately stockpile the corrupted fruit of his labor. Events are allowed to take place that ultimately push that timeline back in place, because the enemy doesn't know God's schedule. He tries to guess it by trying to comb the word of God and by roaming around like a lion and surveying. He tries to guess. And then on his guess, he tries to jump ahead of a schedule he does not have access to. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 through 6. Let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless the apostasy comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. Do you not remember that while I was still with you, I was telling you these things? And you know what restrains him now, so that in his time, he will be revealed. Yes, there is a restrainer. So every time the enemy tries to jump ahead of schedule, the restrainer comes and something happens and it gets pushed back. Now, in these circumstances that were occurring during the Weimar Republic and in Germany and right before Hitler's rise to power, the prospect of a presidential election was alarming. And what they did was they sought a prolongation of Hindenburg's term. Now, Hindenburg was an 84-year-old field marshal in poor health. Does this sound familiar to what we're going through? They wanted to prolong the term of an 84-year-old leader in poor health, but decided to run for re-election in 1932, and he was publicized as the only candidate who could defeat Adolf Hitler. So the incumbent is an 84-year-old in poor health, basically. And Hindenburg sees Adolf Hitler as a dangerous extremist, which he was. I mean, he was an extreme of extremists. Others had the vision as well, such as Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He was a prophet. He was a visionary. He saw the lukewarmness and absolute ignorance of the Protestant church amidst these events. There were 18,000 Protestant pastors at that time. 3,000 stood with Bonhoeffer inside the document called the Confessing Church, resisting such satanic tyranny and the Nazi agenda. 3,000 pastors stood with Hitler and were bought and paid for. I call these the prophets of Ahab, the company of the prophets that were around Ahab. And spiritually blind as bats they were. And then you have 12,000 pastors that faltered between two opinions and spoke not a word. They wanted to remain neutral, kind of like Switzerland. And the silence that is in the face of evil, when there is silence in the face of evil, it's still evil. And I believe Dietrich Bonhoeffer said that. Had 3,000 of those 12,000 pastors more stood with the Confessing Church, Hitler may have never come to power. Because this is how crucial the role of the church is in protecting a nation from an evil that is ruthless and predatory and from the pits of hell. So what occurred as a result of all these factors converging is Hitler and Hugenberg mustered enough support to kill the proposal. So they start working their way up now. And on March 13th, Hitler and three other candidates competed against Hindenburg, the 84-year-old. And he polled a little over 18 million votes to Hitler's a little over 11 million votes. And Hindenburg fell 0.4% short of winning an absolute majority in the first round. So a runoff election. Just keep this in mind. A runoff election was held on April 11th. Hindenburg won the runoff election. However, in 1933, Adolf Hitler was made Chancellor of Germany by Hindenburg. So after Hindenburg calls Hitler a dangerous extremist, he makes him the Chancellor of Germany, which is sort of equivalent to the Vice President. Okay? Now, he appoints a sociopath, a psychopath, to what would be the equivalent of the vice president position. Poise the country to be led in chains down a road of perdition and destruction. So the spirit of lawlessness and murder, as the ringleaders of such a diabolical takeover are in full effect by this point. This is why picking a vice president as well that is solid in their faith in the Lord, steadfast, level-headed in crisis, and filled with wisdom is so important. Otherwise, the cycle has an open door to repeat. And the very person that Hindenburg called this dangerous extremist, because he basically wanted to take everybody's freedoms, Adolf Hitler, right, and set up this tyrannical government, he then appoints him as chancellor. So there was some funky political stuff going on in Germany at this time. Now, I'm going to show you something because Truman did something similar. We're going to jump to Truman for a minute, and then we're going to go right back, okay, to Germany and the United States. But Truman, President Truman, did something similar when he appointed a psychopath to head up the CIA. And that's when they began experimenting on the American people, experimenting with LSD, pumping LSD into the New York subway system. With a song like Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, LSD, you wonder if the Beatles were indeed an asset of the CIA, because you see these things happening. Actually, when it came to Alan Dulles, he's who headed the CIA. He headed it like some Frankenstein monster. And what happened with Kennedy, by the time Kennedy comes into office, right, he stuck to his guns. He fired Dulles and his co-conspirators a few months after the whole Bay of Pigs incident with Cuba. And basically, Kennedy said he wanted to splinter the CIA into 1,000 pieces and scatter it to the winds. He wanted to dismantle this dangerous, sociopathic beast that had been created. Now, the outrage was, obviously, it was mutual here because of the Bay of Pigs incident with Cuba and the blatant recklessness that happened there when they tried to basically assassinate Fidel Castro, a lot went down. Truman now is seeing this from 2020 vision, like, you know, looking back, right? So Truman now sees what they're doing to Kennedy. And while Truman saw this as the CIA attempting to mousetrap President Kennedy, and he was outraged. And he wrote an op-ed about this, I believed. And he said the CIA had become so removed from its intended role that he never had any thought when he set up the CIA that it would be injected into peacetime cloak and dagger operations. This is just Truman talking. It has become an operational and at times a policy-making arm of government. This is Truman. Not only shaping policy through its control of intelligence, but also cloak and dagger operations, presumably including assassinations. So basically, when Truman does something similar that Hindenburg does, disaster follows as well. So I'm just showing you a pattern here throughout history. Now, when you appoint a psychopath that wants to take freedoms from the American people, from the German people, take their weapons, further tyranny, experiment on them like lab rats, no matter which high-level role they are appointed to, it always leads to disaster, historically speaking, when these things are allowed to occur. All right. So keep that in mind, because we see this pattern here with the Weimar Republic. We see this pattern throughout history in the United States of America. And now there's something else that is a piece of the puzzle here, and that is the ancient city of Pergamum. So now we're going to go back now to the Weimar Republic and Germany and Turkey and the United States. So the ancient city of Pergamum was the center of pagan worship in Asia Minor. And it was a once thriving metropolis of a city, and it would lay completely forgotten and in complete ruins until 1864, when German engineer Carl Heumann began excavating it. And he found one of what they called the greatest monuments. I call it one of the most wicked monuments. And exhumed a wickedness that should have stayed buried, because they found the altar of Zeus. And the altar was excavated and taken stone by stone to Berlin, where it was reassembled in its own museum. The Turkish government agreed that the ancient foundation of the Pergamum altar, also known as Satan's throne, became the official property of now Germany. There it is. So you can see a picture of it. Thank you for that. So this was in Turkish territory, buried. And Bible commentaries read that in Ezekiel's day, Magog, Meshech, and Tubal were all located in what is now modern day Turkey, right? We're talking about the War of Ezekiel here. So you have two major players in the War of Ezekiel, chapter 38, moving the altar of Zeus, also known as the throne of Satan, between these two nations. You have Germany and you have Turkey. This is how the enemy attempts to jump ahead. The enemy knows what's in the word of God. Make no mistake about it. He does, because he quoted it to Jesus in the wilderness. When Jesus was weak and had been fasting 40 days and 40 nights, the enemy tried to twist the word and quote it to try to destroy Jesus. And what did Jesus say? Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He knows, and he'll try and utilize such in a blasphemous way to try to outmaneuver God, which he'll never do, and jump ahead of the schedule of God. So God's sacred order of time is for everything to move from darkness to light. The darkness has to submit to the light. In Genesis 1:5, it states, there was evening and there was morning one day. So if you look at the order of that scripture, evening, then morning, because the darkness has to buckle to the light. Satan attempts to reverse such and cause the light to bow to the darkness. So in 1930, the Pergamum Museum was opened to the public with that fully erected throne of Satan, altar of Zeus in it. So from 1864, the time Carl Heumann found this, to the time this museum was opened in 1930 is 66 years. Now keep that in mind. Keep that number 66 in your head for a minute. This was before Hitler was made Chancellor of Germany. Now, a few years later, The Nazi Party's chief architect, Albert Speer, was commissioned by the new chancellor, Adolf Hitler, to design the parade grounds for the party rallies in Nuremberg. So Speer turned, shall we say, was turned by dark forces to the Pergamum altar for inspiration. So using the altar as a model, Speer created an enormous grandstand known as the Zeppelin Tribune. And in the following years, these mass rallies were held, and Hitler would descend down the steps like a tribune, like you know, in an ancient Roman Colosseum. And most of the Nuremberg rallies were held at night in the darkness, where they would illuminate it with many false lights, artificial light, creating a false sense of light. Nuremberg would also be the future site of the Nuremberg trials, where 10 Nazi officers would be executed, just as the 10 sons of Haman were in the Book of Esther and the celebration of Purim, which is celebrated every year, late February, early March, I'd say probably. Sometimes it goes into mid-March, but it is the celebration of the Jews being rescued by God, a divine reversal happening. The Jews were facing annihilation. God raised up people that he utilized to rescue the Jewish people. Divine reversal happens. Haman and his 10 sons are executed. And actually, it was 11 Nazi officers that were supposed to be executed, and one committed suicide the night before that happened at Nuremberg. So history and consequences of active covenants and attacking them always seems to repeat itself. Now, still keep in mind that number 66, right? But 1864, the time the excavation began to the time the museum was opened with the throne of Satan, the altar of Zeus, and it is 66 years. Keep that in mind. Revelation 2:12 says, we read about one of the seven churches here in Revelation 2:12. The church in Pergamum, where Satan's throne is. This is in Revelation 2:12. And Revelation 2:12 through 13 says, and to the angel of the church in Pergamum write, the one who has the sharp two-edged sword says this, I know where you dwell, where Satan's throne is, and you hold fast my name and did not deny my faith, even in the days of Antipas, my witness, my faithful one, who was killed among you, where Satan dwells. So it's very clear in the book of Revelation that Pergamum, where this altar laid buried, is where Satan dwells. Now, the spirit of Antichrist and the mutating sword of Amalek and an insatiable desire for world domination was attempting to be ushered in ahead of schedule back then. Keep in mind the number 66 now. 6 years after Hitler is made chancellor, right? Six being the number of man. So 6 years after he's made chancellor, World War II begins, and the United States would do initially what those 12,000 Protestant pastors did in Germany. They looked the other way, and they said, we're neutral, we're not getting involved. Now, I'm not for any stretch of the imagination getting involved in unnecessary foreign wars. However, this was more than foreign. It was a plan to swallow up the nations and migrate governments together into a one-world government. So between the 66 years, 1864 to 1930, that it took for the throne of Satan, the altar of Zeus, to be found and brought to Berlin, and the 6 years after Hitler is made chancellor of Germany, World War II begins, there is your foreshadowing of 666 right there. There it is, hidden within all of this. A precursor to the man of sin in 2 Thessalonians that is still to come on the scene. These are the cycles we must pay attention to. Now, Revelation 13:18. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for the number is that of a man, and his number is 666. So what I'm showing you here is that this, what the enemy does is he tries to counterfeit. So how 666 got in with Hitler, because the enemy counterfeits, is the 66 years it took to bring the throne of Satan to Berlin in the Pergamon Museum, and then the 6 years that from the time Hitler became chancellor, World War II begins, there's your 666 woven within that spirit of Antichrist and lawlessness that was attempting to use Hitler to get ahead of schedule. So I'm just trying to show you this because this is what the enemy does. This is exactly what he does. Now, something from 1954 I want to read you because it applies to today. Billy Graham talked about communism in 1954. What he said is so profound that I want to read it to you because it applies every bit to what is going on today. Billy Graham, 1954, communism. The communist revolution that was born in the hearts of Marx and Engels in the middle of the 19th century is not going to give up or retreat. No amount of words at the United Nations or peace conferences in the Far East is going to change the mind of communism. It is here to stay. It is a battle to the death. Either communism must die or Christianity must die. Has it ever occurred to you that the devil is a religious leader and millions are worshiping at his shrine today? The name of this present-day religion is communism. The devil is their god, Marx their prophet, Lenin their saint, and Malenkov their high priest. Denying their faith in an ideologies, except their religion of revolution. These diabolically inspired men seek in devious and various ways to convert a peace world to their doctrine of death and destruction. So fanatical and ruthless are these disciples of Lucifer that in 30 years they have slaughtered millions of innocent persons and stand prepared with poised weapons to kill millions more in an all-out effort to spread their doctrine to the ends of the earth. This is 1954. What is the subtle creed of communism? What sort of ideology is it that has captured the loyalty of countless millions of world's people? Politically, a communist is one who believes the state is supreme and the individual exists only for the welfare of the state, thus destroying the God-given status of the dignity of the individual. Economically, a communist believes in the replacement of a private property in land and capital by common ownership and the replacement of private management by collective management. Socially, a communist does not believe in marriage as an institution of God, but only as a biological arrangement suited to the reproduction of heirs to the communist state. Internationally, a communist is a revolutionist who is behind much of the unrest in the world today, whether in Korea, East Germany, or Morocco. Ethically, a communist is a believer of and a devotee to the big lie. Theologically, a communist is an atheist, a despoiler of churches, a murderer of Christians. A war of ideologies is being waged through the world, a war of the secular against the spiritual. The actual battles in the areas of combat are only material manifestations of the larger battle that rages in the hearts of men throughout the earth. Will it be truth or a lie? Will we be motivated by materialistic philosophy or spiritual power? Will we be led by Jehovah God or duped by Satan? The battle lines are clearly drawn. Billy Graham said this in 1954. All of this applies to today. All of this, especially the last part. A war of ideologies is being waged throughout the world. A war of the secular against the spiritual. The actual battles in the areas of combat are only material manifestations of the larger battle that rages in the hearts of men throughout the earth. Will it be truth or a lie? Will we be motivated by materialistic philosophy or spiritual power? Will we be led by Jehovah God or duped by Satan? The battle lines are clearly drawn. Yes, they are. They are very clearly drawn. And this was from 1954. You know why? It is the same ancient demons and spirits that keep recycling their garbage and propaganda all the way through the generations to today. This is why this applies today. It's the same enemy that has put a different cover on its book to feed it to a modern day Amazon Prime shipping, McDonald's fast food, have it your way generation. This is what we're looking at. Joshua 24, In Joshua 24, Joshua, as he's old and he's going to go be with the Lord, he says to Israel, choose this day whom you will serve. 2024 is the year of Joshua 2024. 2024 is the year of Joshua 24. That's what it is. Choose this day whom you will serve. Will we be led by Almighty God and obey his voice through the valley, or will we be deceived by Satan? This is the decision the church now faces. This is the crisis the church faces. This is where the church better get their armor on and realize there is a war of ideologies, and it has infiltrated the church, because communism does not respect the church. Satan does not respect the church. Satan fears the power we have through Christ Jesus. He doesn't respect the four walls of the church. This is why he's been able to infiltrate and get in. And this war of ideologies has gotten into the church because it has been able to infiltrate the hearts of men right now. This is what it's been able to do. And it's been able to, in a very materialistic way, have people emotionally attached to their ideology. This is why you see the gay pride flag mutating. Yes, I said mutating. First, it was just these blocks of color that looks like a rainbow. Oh, but then they had to put a big black arrow in, I think, to represent Black Lives Matter. And now they had to add a circle. Pretty soon, you're going to just have Sesame Street explaining all of this, because they keep adding to it. It keeps mutating. There's a reason for that. There's a reason it keeps mutating, because it has to keep people emotionally bound to a physical object, because that becomes their God. That becomes their pagan God. That becomes a replacement for Almighty God. And that is exactly what happens. And the church has to realize the war of ideologies has targeted it for a long time. And we open that gate and let that army right in. We open that gate and let that dark army of lawlessness come into the church with their garbage, with their satanic ideas, with their perverse ideologies, with their tolerance. Jesus didn't tolerate sin. He purged it. Let's get one thing clear here. Jesus never tolerated. He purged. To tolerate comes from the enemy. That means you're bearing with and enabling something that is toxic. I'm tolerating his behavior. That means you're forbearing with something that you don't agree with. And all of this got in. And back in 1954, Billy Graham called it. He said it. And I'm going to tell you something about this Marx and Engels for a minute. Karl Marx used to write satanic poems and plays. His children used to write him letters and address him as my dear devil. He was sold out. And Engels, let me show you something very interesting about that name. When it came to the battle for prayer being taken out of school, which started in Hyde Park, New York, Engels was the plaintiff. The name Engels comes up again and is the atheist plaintiff that started that whole ball rolling to get prayer taken out of school. You don't think cycles repeat themselves? They do. Okay. Now, I'm going to go through this too, because this brings us to the church. There is a serious cleansing happening in the church right now. And we all better be humble before God and be very careful about murdering people with our words. And character assassination, we better be real careful with what God is doing right now of that and walk circumspectly before him. Because you got some people in arrogance right now puffing their chests out like roosters. And their stream is not pure. And what they're saying is coming from a very dark place. And we're watching this happen in the church. Now I'm going to read this to you. I'm going to read these words to you that go back 3 years. And I'm going to read them to you because this all ties into everything we just spoke about. Because the church was complacent in the Weimar Republic. It was complacent. Church can't be complacent anymore, people. Time to wake up and buck up and armor up and do what we're supposed to do with the church. So, April 2nd, 2021. All capitals here. And says the Spirit of the Lord this day. Okay. And says the Spirit, Holy Spirit, hear ye all the inhabitants of the earth. Humble yourselves before the living God to be hidden under his wing and spared of what is to come, for the sword of the Lord and the declarations from his throne have gone out into the earth. The enemy has been overruled and the Lord is cleaning his house, the houses, senates, and parliaments alike. The Ayatollah shall suffer a major strike. That did happen. As the dragon shall be severed, a mortal, fatal wound. It shall be great. The time has come to propitiate and activate what has been ruled. Many of you have been fooled, and so shall be exposed what fools and double-minded men have done and believed. Relief is coming. Just believe on the Lord your God and take courage. Hold your position, and the Lord shall elevate your call for the persecution suffered at the hands of corrupt men. This is back in 2021. There shall be a fall down the stairs. And then he goes into, as Joe and Jill have attempted to trample on my hill, and here shall be tumbling down, and a lot, that's capitalized, shall go with. I think Lot is actually his son, Hunter Biden. For I, the Lord, truly see the strings and pharmakia ingested and injected to achieve a lucidity. And then he goes on, the Lord, and he says, Eli and his wicked sons, the whole lot shall be purged by the hand of the Lord. However, the country needs to learn a grave lesson, says the Lord, and return unto me and holiness for this to turn. So he's saying you're not going to turn unless you learn a grave lesson and turn back to the Lord. For you are at the precipice if you shall take the word, your sword, and speak it and be bold and brave. That's capital. As I, the Lord your God, lead you in this parade. The charade shall be exposed. A strike to the head of social media giant shall be the wound that causes a fall heard round the world. Now, I believe that already happened when Facebook fell. Facebook went down for a whole like 8 or 12 hours. I think it was a couple of years ago. But this is back in April of 2021. Now, if you go to October 12th, 2022, this is what the Lord says. I have given it to my army, says the Lord. It has been sent into the earth, and they have been positioned, says the Lord, all over this nation. They have been positioned in key points in the earth. They have been positioned on the borders of Ukraine and Russia, and they have been positioned, and they are waiting for me, the Lord thy God, to release them to do what they have been ordered to do. For I am doing a work, and this is greater than a man in this nation. This is greater than an administration in this nation. This is greater than a political party, says the Lord thy God. I am doing a spiritual work, and I am changing the heart of this nation. I am restoring the decay that's in the soul of the nation, that is in the soul of the nation. I am restoring, says the Lord, what has been built on an unstable, confusing, divisive platform. I, the Lord thy God, am tearing down that platform. I am bringing it down. I am ripping it down. I am ripping down entire news agencies, says the Lord thy God, this day. I am ripping down platforms of people that have claimed they have spoken from me, but they have not spoken from me. They have spoken from a spirit, says the Lord thy God, this day. That is not of me. That's capital. I, the Lord thy God, am bringing correction to those that have branched out like vines and tried to hold on to things that I walked them away from a long time ago. And they have allowed it into their lives. They have allowed it into their platforms. They have allowed into this nation. And I, the Lord thy God, say that I am through my righteousness, through my holiness, I am cleaning the house, says the Lord. I am cleaning the house, for the house is in disorder and decay, and the house must be clean, because it has become a haunt for jackals and for unclean spirits to speak and to wander. And I, the Lord thy God, will have none of this anymore. And you will see this, the Lord thy God, this day, going into the high holy days next year, the first of them. So he's saying, going into high holy days next year, which would have put us at September of 2023, he's saying you will see the first of them, the first of the group of them. You shall see this enormous cleansing to take place in your nation. That happened. If you remember, around that time, things started to come out pertaining to church leadership. If you remember, that is the first group that began. It has gone into this year. Now, November 8th, 2022, God raises up leaders and he brings them down. And a spring cleaning, the likes of which has not been seen yet, is coming to the house of God. Judgment begins in the house of Almighty God. And we have to remember that this is why we have to walk circumspectly before the Lord. Circumspectly means carefully, with reverence. We have to walk before Almighty God, and not enough people are doing that. I'm going to tell you, a spring cleaning and disinfecting is coming to not only the house of God, but it's coming to key areas in the nation. A scrubbing and a disinfecting, and all that dirt is going to be mopped up and wiped up and going to be shown where it looks like there is no dirt at all, where it looks like there was no dirt and bacteria and mold and growth. It is going to be wiped and picked up and shown how much there really is. You're going to see this in the areas of the nation. There is a percolating, I believe, happening already of this, and rumblings of this in the nation's capital. They have just completely smeared it with all sorts of filth and grime and blasphemies and ungodliness and backroom deals and compromise and flesh and greed and mammon and pride. And they smeared it all over the place. And you know what's happened? It has seeped into other areas of the nation because of this. It has even seeped into the church. When something is that dirty, you need what's called a deep clean. A deep, key word, clean. And a deep clean is coming, and God is going into areas of the deep, and he's pulling out what's there. And he's cleaning house, because God wants his house and the capital house in order, because he's a God of order. He's not the author of confusion, chaos, bad decisions, or flesh. In Jeremiah, it says, the parents have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. So the parents ate the sour grapes and the kids are getting the sour taste. It's the same thing in the nation. The capital is eating the sour grapes and the people are getting the sour taste. And the next part of that verse in Jeremiah is that no longer will a child die for the sins of their parents. Well, no longer will the people of this nation suffer and die for the sins and sour grapes of the leadership. They have eaten the sour grapes. The people have gotten the sour taste. That is going to be reversed. They are now going to get the sour taste from the sour grapes they have eaten. They are going to get it. They are going to have to eat the sour grapes. They are going to have to taste the bitter gall. They are going to have to taste what is bitter in their mouth and in their lives, because they have sown bitterness to the people. The church has sown bitterness, darkness, and anger at times to the people. You see, more and more people are becoming bitter. And we cannot let that root fester where it produces offshoots in our lives and in the nation. We have to ensure that the soil of our heart is prepared and is ready to hear the instruction of the Lord, to be soft enough to answer the leading of the Lord, because you see, the things of this world in the flesh will harden you. It will harden you. It will stop up your ears. It will stop up your spirit, that you cannot hear the voice of God properly anymore. The voice of God becomes less and less and less. And that is when the danger arises, because the enemy is able more and more and more to try to replicate it, because you hear it less and less and less. So now you're a sheep that doesn't know the voice of your shepherd. We have to be careful of what we fill ourselves with, what we fill our vessels with, because what we fill our vessels with determines how well we hear from God. And the Lord desires to speak to many of you out there. You have stopped up your vessels and jammed them up like a California freeway, and he wants to speak to you. And you filled it up with fleshly things, and you filled it up with power, and you filled it up with these things, and God wants to give you instruction because you're going towards a pit. He wants to give you instruction because you're not listening. He wants to give you instruction because he's trying to avoid a fall. In some cases, the Lord stops speaking altogether, and he lets the fall happen. He lets the fall happen. It was interesting because we were walking near the Catskill Mountains at North South Lake, and a bunch of us were together, and a friend of ours that was with us said to be careful of the shallow roots because they will make you trip, which causes a fall. Be careful of shallow roots because they will make you trip. Shallow roots mean a shallow spirit, a shallow walk with the Lord. Shallow roots out of the ground will cause you to trip because there is nothing deep and anchored, and every step you take is treacherous. And we were trying to navigate around all of these shallow roots of these trees because they were everywhere. And you had to be so careful where you walked. You don't want to be in an area where there are shallow roots everywhere. And with every step you take, there is a very, very large chance you're going to trip. And many of you out there right now are going through that. You're in such a shallow area, you're tripping all over the place, and you're not listening to the tripping. You're not listening to the warning. You're not listening to the stop, and you're still going, and that trip will lead to a fall, will lead to a pitfall. That's what it will lead to. You have them right now at the Capitol and White House tripping all over the place. You have shallow roots everywhere there. It is nothing but shallow, decayed, damaged roots, and they are tripping all over the place, and they can only trip so many times before they completely fall. You don't want to do that in your life. You don't want to be stumbling around like that, where you're constantly stumbling every step you take because the shallow roots are everywhere. And nothing is deep and anchored, because when it's deep and anchored, your walk is solid. When it's shallow, your walk is treacherous. That was November 8th, 2022, that was given. I have a couple more here. April 28th, 2023. Watch and pray, says the Lord. Test the spirit. Test it, for I, the Lord, am a holy God, and I, the Lord, am cleaning out the ears and the eyes of my capital people that have become filled with infection and clogged with fluid that they cannot hear and see correctly. Therefore, in their impairedness, they go with the wind, says the Lord. That is changing. I am calling my people in this hour to straighten up, wake up. Capitals. Anchor in the word, not in a person, says the Lord. The person is a vessel. The word is everlasting. Anchor in the word, for that is your true source. And in this hour, as you drink from the deep wells of that source, you shall see incredible shifts and adjustments in your lives. And you shall move from the childish things into the mature things of the Lord. As I mature your fruit in this season to bear and bud and bring forth what I, the Lord, from my throne have ordained. May 6th, 2024. And says the Spirit of the Lord this day, all capitals, I am God, there is no other, meaning the Lord. I am, and I always will be. Publications in this hour shall be humbled in this nation. Media in this hour shall be humbled for what they spew to the people. Shepherds shall be humbled and brought low, and their corrupt books opened wide by my hand to expose their abuse. They have been found wanting, and I, the Lord, shall bring forth very hard corrections. I am cleaning my house, and I am bringing in the right people with the right heart posture who love me and do not lobby for what is not of me. A combination of two storms that will cross paths will occur, and it will mark and confirm, says the Lord. It is not a man that will save you, O America. Do not, capital, look to seize anyone and make them a king and set them up as savior. Do not, capital, for I, the Lord, will stay my hand of intervention once again if you do so. Man is a tool in my capital hands. Pray for the instruments I use, says the Lord. Some that are about to be utilized and elevated will surprise you. That was May 6th, 2024. And we see what is happening in the church with the shepherds. We see what's happening, and I'm not going to get into who did what and what's coming out about who. Everyone knows what I'm kind of talking about. We see it happening because there's a cleansing going on. And that's why you have to be careful if you accuse the wrong people. It brings condemnation on yourself. This is why you have to be so careful. This is why God exposes. He doesn't need us to do, he doesn't need our help in that. God exposes. God deals with leaders. It is our job to speak the word and to pray and to be the church. God does. Sometimes people think God needs their help, and their mouth actually ends up creating a snare for them. Their mouth creates a snare that they entrap themselves in, and then they want to blame everybody else for what their mouth created. That's why this is the time of accountability. Barbara had said that to me too. She's like, Amanda, this is the time of accountability, which I agree with, but the time of accountability also comes with vindication. So if you're being persecuted, if your character is being attacked, if there are things going on, the Lord is a big enough God to vindicate you. People ensnare themselves. People expose themselves. We're seeing this with shepherds left and right now, stepping down for serious moral failures. Serious moral failures. And it's sad. However, the Lord is allowing it, and he's allowing it because he says, shepherds shall be humbled and brought low, and their corrupt books opened wide by my hand to expose their abuse. They have been found wanting, and I, the Lord, shall bring forth very hard corrections. Now, none of us are perfect. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God. But he's saying their books are being opened, right? So what they have hidden that was of a perverse nature, those books are being opened. And it has to be in this time, because there has to be a reshuffling that happens in the church, because too much garbage has been allowed in. Too much perversion has been allowed in. Too much filth has been allowed in. The shepherds haven't rolled up their sleeves, done their job, engaged the predators, and protected the flock. That's what a shepherd does. I'll tell you, I know. I go flying outside at 2 a.m. I hear a coyote. My robe is on. I am out the door. Chris ain't stopping me. And I'm there. Because a shepherd has the boldness and the authority from God to engage the predator and defeat them. They do. And that's what's being shifted, that mantle to do that. I have been warning about this for 2 years. I kept saying we are about to see the greatest dividing line between the shepherd and the showman we have ever seen in our lives. We are about to see that plumb line drop and the greatest divide ever happen. No, shepherds aren't perfect. No, they're not supposed to be perfect. But there are some things that God is dealing with them of a perverse nature, of a very serious moral nature, that the time has come, the reckoning has come, the time to deal with it has come, because the church is not where it needs to be for what's coming. That's why the Lord says in 2 Chronicles 7, my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. This isn't roses and rainbows. If we think Donald Trump's going to get elected, it's going to be all hunky-dory. We have to think again here. It's going to be real bumpy and a nail biter all the way to November and maybe even beyond. And if this is the year 5784, the prison door is opening to Joseph. Well, sometimes some of those doors have to close first to open. We have to face this. We have to face the fact that leaders have been installed in the church to welcome in wolves. to welcome in perversion, to welcome in these agendas, to welcome in this mutating pride flag, to welcome in the mutating sword of Amalek, to welcome all this in and let it feast at their table like the false prophets feasted at Jezebel's table, who were bought and paid for by her and could not hear God to save their lives. That's what we're looking at. This is serious. This is why we have to walk circumspectly before the Lord. I'm not perfect. Nobody's perfect. This is why we need Jesus Christ. This is why he died for our sins. This is why he came, because we fall so short. God's not looking for a perfect vessel. He's looking for a willing, obedient vessel. There's a difference, because obedience is better than sacrifice. And sometimes it's frustrating to be obedient, but boy, do you see the fruit of that come forth in your life if you stay the course. And I'm watching that happen, and it grieves me. It does. It grieves me. And sheep unnecessarily biting each other grieves me. And sheep being prideful and arrogant and thinking they're the only ones on a podium, they're the only ones to get souls, they're the only ones that hear God, grieves me. The whole point of the prophetic is to point people at God, to glorify God, to draw them into a deeper relationship with God so they can hear God for themselves. Edify, exalt, and warn. That is the job and the office of the prophetic. But this is the time of accountability. It is. Doesn't matter if it's conservative or liberal. It doesn't matter if it's Protestant or Catholic. It doesn't matter if it's the leader of Germany or the leader of the United States of America. It's the time of accountability. And that comet is showing up the night before Yom Kippur for that reason. It's a sign and it's a marker. And we have to pay attention to all of this. So that's the thought I will leave you with for tonight, because I don't want to go too long. We're already at an hour and 22 minutes. Praise the Lord. I pray you learned something tonight. We will put the notes up. We will. But it's important for us to know this. It's important for us to learn this. Important for us to understand, you know, the sons of Issachar were amazing at discerning the times and seasons of God. Even the trees know the seasons. We as the people of God should know the times and season. Trees know when to let their leaves go and when to grow new. They know. If they know, we should know how our Father in heaven moves and the times and seasons he moves in. And that goes to going into a deeper relationship with him. So if you have not given your life to Jesus Christ, please today do. Please make the decision. The word of God says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, you shall be saved. And that he died on the cross for your sins. You had a death sentence against you. He took your place. He purchased you by the shedding of his blood. And accepting him into your life and heart to be your Lord and Savior makes you a new creation through Christ. And just surrender your life over to him to do what he wants with it. It'll be the best decision you've ever made. So please, if you do this today, email us at Ark of Grace Ministries at hello@arkofgrace-ministries.com. Please give your life to Jesus Christ today. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I implore you, if you have felt convicted today, if you have backslidden from the Lord, your shepherd is calling you home. Come back to your shepherd in this hour. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay. I'm going to put two things up real quick before we close out for the evening. We have Give a Derm first. This is Givaderm. It is plant-based. It is all natural. It is food for your face. I use it twice a day. It is amazing and one of the most amazing skincare lines made by some of the most amazing women I have ever met. They are believers. They are steadfast in their faith and they make an incredible product. You can go to arcofgrace.org/ministry-partners and use promo code ARC10. And then we also have... Oh, there's the salvation prayer. Wonderful. So we have it up. We do. Now that's the start of your relationship with the Lord. Every relationship has a beginning. This is your beginning point to a lifelong relationship and then into eternity. So this changes eternal matters for you. And it is so, so important. Thank you for putting that up. And that is at arcofgrace.org/salvation-prayer. Also, we have from Andrew Sorcini, we debuted them the other day, but we have these coins that mean something. So basically it says Cyrus, faithful shepherd, which is also an ode to Isaiah 45. Cyrus, our shepherd, is on there. And in the back is the ark with the dove coming back with the olive branch to signal that the water was receiving. It says, in God we trust, saving grace 2024. He is our saving grace. He is our only saving grace in this. And we have to remember that. So you can contact Andrew. We'll put the contact information up here. And so you could also call the phone number and you can email Andrew at bh-pm.com for more details on getting these silver coins. So, you know, people ask me, and I'll tell you this real fast, Amanda, why do you do the sponsorships. And I'll give you a very simple answer to that, because I'm not taking any PPP loans from the government. That's why. Paul was a tent maker and he went out and did ministry. He had a business and then he went out and he did ministry and people gave to him. And so basically this is what we're trying to do, because I am not taking PPP loans from the government when I saw the crazy that happened the last round. So basically, it helps to hedge us, it helps to protect, and it just helps us to use wisdom in what we're doing and how we're helping people as well, because we do want to help people. We do want to be a blessing to people. We're blessed to be a blessing. God gives you what he gives you to steward so you can further his work and be a blessing to others. You always have to remember that. It is not money that is the root of all evil. It is the love of money. It is the idolizing of money. Money is a tool. Keep it that way. It's a tool that helps you do what God asks you to do. Keep it in that box there. Keep it in that area. Always keep it emotionally in that area. We encourage you to do that because it makes a difference. It really does. It makes a difference when you change your view of it and you view it that way. We are blessed to be a blessing. So if God gives you something to steward, you're given that to be a blessing to others and to further his work and what he wants. That is what it's for. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's where I think I'm going to end tonight. And God bless everyone. Keep the faith. We love you. Armor up according to Ephesians chapter 6. Psalm 91, I encourage you to say it every single day. I say it every single day over me, Chris, and our household. We also have other psalms there, including Psalm 51. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. We should be saying that a lot right now. We should be saying that a lot. You know why? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So we always must be cleansing our hearts. Also, Ephesians chapter 1 and 3, from the believer's authority as well. There are scriptures from Ephesians 1 and 3 that are in the believer's authority by Pastor Kenneth Hagin that I speak every single day, as well as the Lord's Prayer. There's an order to that prayer that is so important for our prayer life. And if Jesus taught his disciples to pray that way, that should be good enough by a long shot for us to start making that a discipline in our own lives. Oh, thank you everyone for joining us. We love you. We will be back on next week. I will be in prayer as I'm watching these things unfold, just the direction the Lord wants me to go here. We've also got some other announcements that are coming up. It's still in the works though, so I don't want to say anything yet, but just keep us in prayer and please keep Chester in prayer. He slept with me almost all night last night, Chester. He really needs prayer right now. He needs to be strengthened and we need him to start eating. He is drinking. We need him to start eating. So please, everyone, we just ask that you pray for him. God bless everyone. Have a wonderful rest of your evening. Hello, everyone. Amanda Grace here. So as many of you know, Dr. Mark Sherwood and Dr. Michelle Sherwood of the Functional Medical Institute are mine and Chris's doctors. And so I went to Dr. Sherwood with a problem that I was seeing, not only with what I was going through, but with what other women were going through concerning their metabolism, concerning energy, concerning their hormones. And so we put our heads together and we are very happy now to finally be able to present to you Rapha for women. Rapha means healer in Hebrew. So it is an ode to the Lord because he is our healer. He put things in the earth that help heal us. And so Rapha is a product that was created for that. It also helps by helping with a healthy metabolism and natural hormones, as well as it helps balance fatigue. It helps with weight gain, night sweats, mood swings, blood sugar issues, and more. It is all natural, and I find more and more people are going into the natural arena in order to find solutions to issues that they're going through. So if you'd like to learn more, you can go to www.arcofgrace.org/ministry-partners to learn more about Rapha today. God bless. Hey everyone, Amanda Grace here. If you are looking for advice on financial matters, if you think gold and silver might be right for you, go to bh-pm.com today. Andrew Sorcini of Beverly Hills Precious Metals, who has been on Ark of Grace many times and loves to answer our viewer questions, is here with his team to answer all of your gold and silver needs. Whether you want to buy gold and silver, whether you have questions to see if it's right for you, whether you are looking to roll over retirement accounts, go to bh-pm.com today. And Andrew and his team will be more than happy to assist you with all of your needs. If you want to support an amazing patriot and be a blessing, go to MyPillow.com today and use promo code ARK, A-R-K, to save up to 66% or more off of all MyPillow products. They have pillows, of course, but they are so much more than pillows. They have sheets, they have slippers, they have bathrobes, they even have dog beds. And a fun fact for all of you, Noble, one of our pigs at our animal sanctuary, has indeed slept on a MyPillow dog bed. So if you want to be a blessing, you can go to MyPillow.com today and use promo code ARK. Hey everybody, Amanda Grace here. Many of you have been curious and have asked about what skincare products I use. In fact, we have had many emails come in about this, so I am happy to be able to now share this with you. This is Givaderm. It is all natural. It is food for your face. Wonderful skincare line owned and operated by believers. I love that these products are nourishing. They are free of chemicals and they are safe for not only me, but also the animals. And as you know, we have many of them running around here at the Ark. So I don't have to worry if any of them were to accidentally get into them. What goes on our skin goes into our bodies. So it's important to put on our skin what nourishes and heals. Kind of like what we should put in our soul, what nourishes and heals it, which is the word. Our bodies are temples. We have to be careful what we put on them and in them. My favorite products are Uplift and the eye cream, which I have right here. However, I use their entire line. It is amazing and it is very effective. So if you'd like to learn more or contact Givaderm, go to arcofgrace.org/ministry-partners and you can use promo code ARK10 for a 10% discount.